The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's an honor. Today is Monday, June the 6th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. 78 years ago today, on June 6, 1944, during World War II, Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, France, on D-Day. They began the liberation of German-occupied Western Europe. Airborne American soldiers and allies dropped from the sky shortly after midnight. Books have been written, movies have been made, and we still remember. This was one of the transformational moments in world history. American soldiers supported by our allies hit the beaches under heavy German machine gun artillery fire. One of the craziest stories that I've heard that came out of all of that that happened was that the paratroopers landed behind enemy lines without any weapons because they had these leg bags that had been created in advance to be to help them as they jumped out of the planes and parachuted in behind the enemy lines. And the leg bags, once they ripped their cord on their umbrella chute, the leg bags fell off. They were somehow connected, and they were supposed to, you know, disengage after they hit the ground. Well, they hit the ground, and the guys floating down on their parachutes looked down, and all of their weapons were way ahead of them, falling on the ground somewhere. Most, if not all of them, couldn't find them when they hit the ground. And there they were behind enemy lines. All they had was a knife in their boot that each of the paratroopers carried. It's interesting. They didn't run. They didn't hide. The American paratroopers advanced with a mission. They took out the German artillery hammering the beaches on Omaha specifically, as I hope we all know. People witnessed horrors that couldn't be described with words. Some of the units lost or suffered a casualty rate of 90%. That means 9 out of every 10 guys were either killed or wounded. I think we need to stop and think about that just for a moment this morning. Imagine being in a situation surrounded by so much death, but still pushing forward. That is the definition of courage. Today we define courage by coming out to your friends that you're transgender. The media celebrates you because of your courage in today's culture. We need help. We need God's help. I think there is an awakening that's starting. I don't think it's like other awakenings that we've seen in the past, revivals, spiritual revivals, but I do think there's an awakening beginning. I'm going to be talking about that over the next few days. It's been in my heart and on my heart to talk about it, and we will be. But I do believe there's a shift that has begun. I think the left is blinded by their own passions. They don't see it coming, but I believe it's happening. I'm not saying it's going to create utopia in America. That utopia or that time of peace will come when Christ rules and reigns. But I do believe there is a shift, a major pushback on the left and their agenda, because there is no restraint. There is no sense of just balance on the side of the left. They keep pushing and pushing and becoming more and more bizarre in their demands, whether it's transgenderism in three-year-olds or whatever it is. I mean, there is no restraint. And I believe just there's an arrival at a point where the people in the, just general people, I'm not talking about Christians, non-Christians, certainly Christians, hopefully, but just people in general across this nation are saying, wait a minute, this is too much and it's gone too far. I think I see that. I think I feel it in my spirit, but I think I see that happening. in the country. As I said, we'll be talking about that in the coming days. Today in 1844, the Young Men's Christian Association was founded, the YMCA, in London. Today in 1912, a volcano on the Alaska Peninsula, I think it's called, what's the name of that? Navarrupta or something like that. It's a kind of a, I guess it's an Inuit name. Anyway, that began a three-day eruption, sending ash as high as 100,000 feet into the air. It was the most powerful volcanic eruption of the 20th century, and it ranks among the largest in recorded history. Today in 1939, the first Little League game was played. Lundy Lumber defeated Lycoming Dairy 23-8 in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Little League was a little deal back then, but boy, it isn't now. It's a big deal, and thousands, maybe millions of kids playing Little League. Today in 1968, Senator Robert F. Kennedy died at Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles. He was 25 and a half years or hours after he was shot by Sirhan Sirhan. Today in 1989, Washington State Democrat Tom Foley succeeded Jim Wright as House Speaker. And today in 2005, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that people who smoke marijuana because their doctors recommended it to ease pain could be prosecuted for violating federal laws. I think that was a good ruling. I don't think marijuana is the path to recovery. I know many do, but I don't. I've seen too many kids start smoking pot, and then they graduate very quickly. It is a door to harder drugs. There's no question in my mind. I've just seen it so much as a youth pastor, time and time and time again, many, many cases. So I don't think marijuana is anything the public can't live without, but I know I'm in the minority in some areas, but nonetheless, that's where we are. So a horrible incident happened in church yesterday. Catholic Church in Southwest Nigeria. Jihadists came in, opened fire on the worshipers. It was a Catholic church. They were celebrating Pentecost Sunday yesterday. They were celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles after Christ's ascension into heaven. These jihadists stormed their church, killed at least 50. The report in the pews shot them dead. Dozens were wounded, and they're still living, according to the reports coming out of there this morning. Very, very sad. That's the world we live in. The people that attacked them did not believe as they did, so they tried to kill them all. Well, abortion is poised to become a bigger voting issue than in the past. According to Gallup this morning, they put out a quite lengthy poll. I didn't read it all. I looked at the kind of the bottom line of it. But 27% of voters say a candidate must share their views on abortion or they will not vote for them under any other circumstance. A record low 16% say abortion will not be a major issue. In other words, more people are focused on abortion in this upcoming election this year, the midterm, than in the past. Abortion is more of a key voting for those on the political left than on the political right. That surprised me a little bit. Gallup's usually pretty accurate in their polling. They've been doing it a long time. But, man, it seems to me that the people on the right should be much more concerned about that, but they apparently, anyway, U.S. voters more than any time in the recent past will be focusing on abortion as they vote in this upcoming midterm election. The left is trying to make a lot out of that because this president administration hasn't accomplished much. As you know, President Biden has failed on almost every task since becoming president. I don't say that in a partisan view. I mean that from a broken heart, really, for our country. I mean, from baby formula, and I know it's not all his fault, but boy, his policies make the difference, and the ripple effect of his policies are seen everywhere. When you drive up to your gas pump, don't think for a moment that it's Putin's fault. I'm not defending Putin for a moment either, but it's not his fault. I mean, sure, all of this plays into the world economy, the war in Ukraine and all of that. But boy, the dumb policies that were made day one, as they like to say in politics, by this president and his energy agenda to transform us all into wind machines or whatever. Boy, I'll tell you, we're feeling the effect of that just a little more than a year into his presidency. It's a little frightening to think there could be three more years of this, but it looks like that's where we are. But that's what's happening in our culture. The Supreme Court, a lot of people were saying this morning that the Supreme Court, and yesterday, in fact, were saying the Supreme Court will probably issue their ruling, their official ruling on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization on Monday. Today, they did not. About an hour or so ago, they came out. They published, made public their rulings, a set of rulings, a number of rulings on a number of things. But that was not among them. I honestly didn't think they would. They will. But I didn't think they would do it this morning because they have time yet. There's a couple of weeks. I mean, they may do it next Monday. I don't know. But they usually dump those rulings on Monday to the press. And then everybody knows, you know, it's the same time. But I don't think they're going to put that one out there until more toward the very end when their recess, their summer recess begins. And it begins, I think, on the last day of June or a couple of days into July, but it's right around the end of the month. My guess would be that they would wait longer, but I don't know. I mean, what do I know about what's going on inside those concrete walls of that building? But nonetheless, I'm not surprised they didn't put that out because there's going to be chaos and the activists are going to take over the cities or try to. I think there'll be a lot of disruption when that, what we've already seen leaked, if that is in fact that draft that we saw that was leaked here a while back, if that is in fact the decision of the Supreme Court, there's going to be a lot of chaos in the country. So we'll see what happens, but nonetheless, it did not happen. That was not issued officially this morning, as some people were predicting yesterday. Another poll, another survey by Gallup shows that 71% of Americans in general now support so-called gay marriage. I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, but I want you to think about this as we talk about what we're talking about today, because there is a path that seems to have been forged by the left and unfortunately by the church that is destructive. It's anti-biblical, and it must be breaking the heart of God. And I don't say that lightly. A.W. Tozer, great theologian, he once said, "Religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender." Keep that thought in mind as we talk today. The Apostle Paul put it a different way. He said to us as individuals, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Unfortunately, numbers like 71% of Americans in general now support so-called gay marriage. That is the outcome of that kind of thinking and that kind of neglect of God's word. The same survey shows Gallup. It shows who the final holdouts are. They talk a lot about the holdouts in this survey, interestingly enough. But it shows who they are, the holdouts. That's what they call them. And why they're opposing redefining marriage. And they're talking about why the pro-gay marriage folks are deeply concerned about the constitutionality of the redefinition. And it's directly linked to abortion. I'll tell you about that as well. But anyway, this new survey by Gallup shows that 71% of Americans in general support gay marriage. The survey taken May 2nd through May 22nd, just this past month, ask adults in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. They ask them this question, quote, do you think marriages between same-sex couples should or should not be recognized by the law as valid with the same rights as traditional marriage? The result, as I said, is 71% said it should be valid. Last year, in 2021, 70% of adults said homosexual marriages, quote unquote, should be valid. When Gallup first asked that question about marriage, it was 1996, and barely a quarter, 27%, back in 1996, seems like yesterday to some of us, doesn't it? Barely a quarter, 27% of the public supported homosexual marriages. And I always say that with quotes because they are not marriages. It doesn't matter what the state says. God says no, that's not a marriage. It may be a lot of things, but it's not a marriage. God instituted marriage. That's a truth that we must stand on regardless of the cost. God created marriage. It is only between a man and a woman. It can be cohabitation. It can be a whole lot of things. You can name it what you want, but that is not marriage when two people of the same sex come together and declare to be married. They're not married. They're together. They're living together. They're having sexual relations and all of that, but they're not. That is not what marriage is. God himself defined marriage, and we are, as a nation, dismissing God on this issue and other issues, unfortunately. When asked the same question of American adults who attend church regularly, at least once a week, that same question that I read a moment ago, Gallup found that 58% oppose homosexual marriage, while 40% support it. So people that go to church every Sunday, once a week, 40% of them support gay marriage. I wish that surprised me, but it doesn't. I hear the conversation. I see the social media. I don't go on social media, but I watch it. I see what other people are saying sometimes. But I see Christians debating, strongly debating with each other, that people have a right to love whom they love wins, and God is love, and all of this stuff, and it is so confused. It's depressing to even look at it. I mean, I'm a simple man, and I understand that. But some of these people have been lost in this web of deception and lies about so many things, including the most fundamental basic component of society. It's marriage and family. Like a male and a female get together. They have vows. They have babies. And they create a family. I mean, it's that simple. That is what marriage and family is. Now, I understand there are circumstances that happen and marriages fall apart, and there's often one of the two in the marriage that they didn't want that to happen. They didn't want a divorce. They didn't want their spouse to walk away with someone else or whatever happened. They don't want that. As a pastor, I've dealt with that. I don't know how many times. I mean, seems like millions of issues. Not that many, but many. I understand things happen on the pathway of life, and you wish it weren't that way. I get that, and I'm very sensitive to that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people whose marriage has exploded for one reason or another, and they didn't want it to be that way. They prayed it wouldn't be that way, but it is. I get that. But I'm just saying, we do not transform, and what Tozier was saying better than I could, is that we don't take our belief system, God's word, and begin to transform it so it fits our particular set of circumstances at any given time. But that's exactly what's happening in our country today, or has been happening. Faithful Catholics, Protestants, including evangelicals and Orthodox Jews, those who follow the Bible's moral prescriptions and church tradition, believe that marriage is between one man and one woman for life, Gallup discovered. Well, many of us knew that, didn't we? In Matthew chapter 19, we find that Jesus is being questioned by religious leaders of his day. They weren't looking for truth. They weren't there to learn anything from Jesus. They were actually trying to set a philosophical and a theological trap for him. He responded. These are familiar verses, but let me just read a part of what the Bible says about this particular incident in the life of Jesus. Think of it in terms of today, but not so much different today than then. The Pharisees also came unto him, Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Talking about divorce. And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. They're not two people, they're one people. They come together. Boy, does our culture slam that idea. What therefore God hath joined together, Jesus said, let not man put asunder. I know that's straight talk, but that's Jesus himself speaking. And that's what he said. So the battle over marriage is actually based on whether or not one believes God and his word or the evolving culture. The activists have set an intellectual and an emotional trap for the culture today, just like they were doing back in the time of Jesus. And this interchange that I just read about, the question, the issue was divorce, but the real issue was to try to get Jesus to contradict himself and his own theology, his own teaching and beliefs. That was what they were trying to do wisely. Jesus, God in the flesh, he knew their hearts. He knew what they were doing. None of us are Jesus, but we do have some discernment given by the Lord. And you look at what's happening in our culture today, and the same thing is happening. They'll use any issue to try to trip up the American church, the Christian church, the biblical church at one time at least, and try to get us to go along and smilingly find approval of the culture by going along because we want to show we're not a bad person. To a guy carrying a big sign that says hashtag love wins, if we stand up against that person and say, no, you and your buddy there are not married. That's not marriage. It may be a lot of things, whatever you want to put on the tag. But marriage was created by God, not the government. It's not marriage. You become a bad person. You become a bigot. You become intolerant. You become hated. You become targeted. So the battle over marriage is actually based on how we feel or whether we are willing to believe God's word and try to live that out according to our own conscience. But the trap has been set. The silence from the pulpits on this and similar issues are in great part to blame for the confusion in the culture. That's what Tozier and others, he's not the only one, was addressing. Religion today is not transforming people, rather it's being transformed by the people. Our president is an outstanding example, a world leader, the world leader of the free country, the strongest, most blessed, prosperous nation in the history of the world. And he claims his devout Catholicism. And many, not all, but many of the Catholic leaders say, man, you're not living out what our church is supposed to believe. But he claims to be a devout Catholic, a devout religious person, and yet is one of the strongest advocates for violation of these kinds of principles having to do with marriage and human sexuality and all of these things that are fundamentally, I mean, we don't have to have a PhD in science to understand that, like, if men and women don't get together and have babies, at some point we're going to run out of people. I mean, it's real simple. And that's the way God created it. That is the course of human events. That's the way it's supposed to work. But we have taken a stand against that. Homosexual activists tell their stories about being denied the right to marry whom they love, and they cry. And I mean, I understand they're caught in the web of their own doing. They have set the trap for the church to fall into, and up to 40% have in churches in America because they don't know what they believe, and they don't know why they believe it. And they have activist pastors or silent pastors who do not address the issues of our day. And that's what's wrong in the culture today. And it's usually touted as being hyper-spiritual. I'm not going to get involved in politics. Don't drag me in. That's dirty. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to address politics over the pulpit. Oh, no, not me. That's what's wrong in America today. Churches have miserably failed to address the issues. They just say words, platitudes. Non-religious people say, sure, why not? Let's be fair and redefine marriage to accommodate everybody. Equity is the new virtue. Uninformed people begin to concede that maybe they have a point. After all, we want to be fair. We want to be. Does anybody want to not be a good person? I mean, of course we do. So, of course, yeah, well, I don't understand that. I don't get that gay marriage thing, but it's, I mean, that's all right. I'm not homophobic. I'm not a bad person. And virtue signaling sets in and we're all over the place. Yes, oh, yes, I have friends. You can love the person, even in your own family, your child, but you do not have to conform to the sin that that person has incorporated into their lifestyle and their behavior. The state didn't create marriage. Therefore, it cannot redefine marriage. In truth, in the beginning, our government got involved to support marriage between a man and a woman. Now that has all changed, as you know. In Romans chapter 1, Paul addresses all of the consequences of this kind of thinking in a culture, and it is direct, to the point, and probably someday, if we continue on this path, will be illegal to even say publicly. But you know it's there. I don't have time to read that chapter, but if I did, I would. But I'll tell you, those within the church who support gay marriage are either uninformed or unwilling to submit to God's truth, or they're just simply rebellious toward God himself. Well, as the Supreme Court rules on this issue of abortion, some say, in fact, the New York Times published a headline this weekend, "If Roe Falls, is Same-Sex Marriage Next?" They're very concerned. NPR, National Public Radio, ran a headline on their feature story, "Abortion Rights Might Soon Be Gone. Activists Worry That Same-Sex Marriage May Be Next." We'll see what happens. Thanks for being with me today. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for your support of this ministry. It is vitally necessary. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.